From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Family of Faith, taking his text from verses 39 and 40 of the chapter. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Out of Any Circumstance. The text is Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Yes, I must and will pray. What else can I do? What better can I do? Betrayed, forsaken, grieved, baffled, O my Lord, I will call upon Thee. My Ziklag is in ashes, and men speak of stoning me. But I encourage my heart in the Lord, who will bear me through this trial, as He has borne me through so many others. Jehovah shall save me. I am sure He will, and I declare my faith. The Lord and no one else shall save me. I desire no other helper, and would not trust in an arm of flesh, even if I could. I will cry to Him evening and morning and noon, and I will cry to no one else, for He is all sufficient. How He will save me, I cannot guess, but He will do it, I know. He will do it in the best and surest way, and He will do it in the largest, truest, and fullest sense. Out of this trouble and all future troubles, the great I Am will bring me as surely as He lives. And when death comes, and all the mysteries of eternity follow thereon, still will this be true, the Lord shall save me. This shall be my song all through this day. Is it not as a ripe apple from the tree of life? I will feed upon it. How sweet it is to my taste.
Monster!
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Family of Faith. The text is verses 39 and 40, verses which have been the source of much controversy through many centuries of church history. First of all, Dr. Cairns will deal with the theological or doctrinal principles set forth in the text. In the course of explaining the various terms used, he will seek to show that the emphasis here is upon the indivisible unity of God's people down through the ages, in both the Old and the New Testaments. Later in the message, Dr. Cairns will underscore the devotional principles found in these verses. Now, to commence this message, The Family of Faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
We return this morning to the final two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. If you have been with us over the past months, you will know that we have gone verse by verse through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and now we have reached verse 39 and 40. Last week I took the first part of verse 39 and just focused our attentions on the report that these people received through faith. Today I want us to look at the verses themselves in context and follow them as the Lord enables us, either the whole way through or part, 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11 ends as it began, with a statement of very far-reaching importance on the subject of faith. The chapter begins with what many people take, I think, wrongly to be a definition of faith. If you've got a long memory, you'll recollect that I pointed out it's more of a description than a definition. So it starts out in the opening verses with a description of faith. It then continues through the body of the chapter with outstanding illustrations of faith. And now in the closing verses, it comes to the great consummation of faith. Verse 35 to the end actually form a particular section. I trust you'll remember how we have subdivided that, for it's important just to see how we get to the place that we are this morning. In verses 35 to 38, the opening section of 38, we have tremendous summary statements about great exploits of faith. We titled that Achieving the Impossible Through Faith. What wonderful words they are. These are people who did such outstanding things. I think I said 35, it should have been 32, 33. They subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they quenched the violence of fire, they stopped the mouths of lions. They were achieving the impossible through faith. Then from verse 35 through to 38, we have a totally different tone. These people didn't stop the mouths of lions. If I could put it this way, they entered into the mouths of the lions and they fed them with their own bodies. They didn't quench the violence of fire. They suffered the violence of fire. They had the same faith. But far from doing what the world thought were great things, achieving the impossible through faith, they bore the unbearable through faith, submitting themselves to the will of God and having one aim and one object. Whatever God did in them and for them and through them, they would remain faithful to their God. It is a great mistake to believe that we only see the power and the grace of God when we are actually doing great things. We may actually be understanding more of the fullness of the Lord when we are suffering great things. Without wanting to get off the major tract this morning, I think I should say that those two things will almost always go together. And either as a preliminary, as an adjunct, or as a result of a great movement of God's power, God's people will have to bear the unbearable through faith in Jesus Christ. Then in verses 39 and 40, we have the great final summary statement of this chapter. You notice I say of this chapter because what's in chapter 12 actually is an application of it, and we will look at that in due course. But this chapter is a final summary statement on the family of God of all ages, complete through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, to these verses we're turning, and I want us to consider this morning, in all or in part, as the Lord helps, the full and the final vindication of faith. Now, I better prepare you. These two verses, in some ways, are a battleground, for various reasons, in fact. Many learned scholars, theologians, commentators, and others who don't reach their sublime heights have waxed eloquent on these verses, and they have come to widely differing conclusions. I have to say that some of those differences I can understand, and I think if they're pursued, they're not so much differences in content as really differences of how far the application goes. But there are other major differences that people import into these verses, and I believe that their trouble is they are not willing to take the verses for what they say. They take all their baggage from preconceived ideas and they try to force the Word of God into their mold. Now, that is always a mistake. Many of you will have heard a criticism of John Calvin, usually from very learned people who have never cracked a book that John Calvin ever wrote. And, for instance, I read a statement from a leading Baptist brother, not because he was a Baptist, he just happens to be a Baptist, but other Baptist brethren have much more sense. But this particular fellow was saying about Calvin that he was forcing everything into a rigid logical system. He was not a biblicist. And then this fellow went on to give us his system, in which there wasn't one single biblical point of exposition. It was all, "I say it, therefore it's true." And it was severely illogical. It's very interesting to note that the man whose name is most often linked in controversy with Calvin was a man whose Latin form of his name was Arminius. Jacobus Arminius. And Arminius said, "Next to the Holy Scriptures, I love the writings of John Calvin more than the writings of any other man." And the reason for that was that when the great Genevan scholar came to the Scripture, he never came with a system to impose it on the Scripture, but he believed in letting the Bible say what the Bible said, and then letting men bring their views into line with the Bible rather than forcing the Bible to conform to what their preconceived notions were all about. We would do well to follow that example. I trust that we'll try to do that today. We're going to look at two things in this text. Now, don't get your hopes up when I say two things, because those two things are rather large things with many little things hanging on to them. I want us to think, and you're going to hear me use a word, is a main point that you very rarely hear me use. That's the word principles. I hate the preaching of principles. Four principles for a happy life. Four principles for a subjective or a subjected wife. Wonder where I'm looking. somebody else's wife. These are usually counterfeits for the gospel. But I'm using the word principles this morning because Hebrews 6 uses it as the to have the meaning of a basic biblical doctrine. I'm going to think this morning first of the theological or doctrinal principles of this text, and then we will move on to the devotional principles of the text. Now, we're starting with doctrine. We're starting with theology, the knowledge of God and His truth as He has set it forth before us here. We're going to notice first and foremost the truth established in these verses. Watch them carefully. All these. Now, who are these? Well, we start with Abel, and we go through many of the Old Testament saints. One thing they have in common, they are all Old Testament period saints. All these. That's who we're talking about. They obtained a good report through faith, yet they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. Who are the us? The us are most undoubtedly the New Testament saints. If you want to have the proof of that, you simply go back to Hebrews chapter 2. And you find, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So the us are undoubtedly the New Testament saints. Now put them together. They, the Old Testament saints. We, the New Testament saints. God has provided some better things for us. That they, the Old Testament saints, without us, the New Testament saints, should not be made perfect. John Brown, one of the greatest commentators of all on the book of Hebrews, a great Scottish preacher and teacher, says that though the Greek does not absolutely demand this, nonetheless it strongly supports it. That the translation gives the meaning of the apostle much more fully if we put it that they, not without us, should be made perfect. Now I want you to get the force of that. This is the truth that's being established. It is the truth of the indivisible unity of the people of God from all ages, the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the New Testament economy. Now we will see in the text, and we will note it as we go along, that there are very obvious points of difference between the Old Testament economy and the New Testament economy. Very obvious points of difference. This whole book of Hebrews is setting out many of those differences. But despite the differences, the great truth that is being established is that God's people in all ages are one people. This is an important truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.